Hello and welcome to another episode of the Successful Home Ownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie, out of the greater Cincinnati area. We also, of course, cover the northern Kentucky area, as well as Dayton and up to including Mainville, Morrow, Wilmington, Ohio, etc. So those areas we absolutely cover. And so what are we going to talk about today in the world of home inspection? How about we do an episode of Spy versus Spy? Does anybody remember the Mad Magazine, two spies that went after each other? Well, okay, so we're not going to talk about that, but we are going to talk about summer versus winter inspections. So what are the differences? What things are items that we want to deal with and characteristics that we are considering during summer inspections, and what are those things during winter inspections? So I want to talk about different risks and also things to expect when you are hiring a home inspector to do an inspection, and therefore these are things as a home buyer or home seller you also want to deal with. So let's cover one of these first. What about summer? Let's talk about summer. We'll save winter for last. Summer. Okay. During the summer, if you have an air conditioner, we of course are going to run that. However, if it is a heat pump and it is 60 degrees or more, okay, and that's your air conditioner compressor outside that in this case is a heat pump, that unit we cannot run in heating mode during the summer. Okay, but we are going to run it in the cooling mode. So you run it one way versus reversing the cycle, running it the other way. One expands, one contracts the coolant. Okay, but during the summer, most heat pumps, if not all of them, have an emergency heat setting. Okay, and if that's the case, then that's called EM heat on your thermostat. We can run that, so we can actually test out the emergency heating mode. And generally speaking, if we run the cooling mode, the odds of it not working in the heating mode are pretty slim. So in actuality, we are testing it, but we're not testing it in the heating mode. We're only testing it in the cooling mode as far as the compressor. Okay? So that's something to think about. Does that affect you a whole lot? Not particularly. But again, you just want to be aware when the inspector says we can't test out the heat, but he can test out the emergency heat. Okay, so be aware of that. As we walk through the house and we go in the attic, there's a lot of stuff to deal with the attic. And the attic is going to affect the roof. So let's pretend it's 95 degrees outside, nice and sunny. Your inspector is inspecting the attic. What are things he's going to be trying to give you advice about is going to be ventilation in your attic. You want your attic to ventilate very well, because during these summer times when the sun is just blasting on that roof, it can cause your attic to superheat upwards of 150 degrees even, if not even a little bit more. And if you don't have good ventilation so that heat can escape, it can really deteriorate your roof shingles very quickly. And that 20 or 25 year roof shingle becomes a 10 to 15, if not less, and the granules start to fall off sooner. So if your inspector recommends that you add more ventilation to your attic, or even we find one of these cheap roof installations that appears to have a ridge vent, but we look up at the peak of the attic and it absolutely has not been cut out. It should be about an inch and a half wide, up to like 2.5 inches wide on the cut to allow that air to escape. Okay, so you want to make sure that that's there. Otherwise, maybe some passive roof vents. Some people have turbine vents, those are not real great, I'll just say that. On the older houses, you may have gable vents, passive roof vents, possibly even a thermostatically controlled fan. There's even solar power thermostatically controlled fans also. All right. What are some other things as a home buyer you can do for an attic? Well, you can make sure that you have plenty of insulation. And this one crosses over in a spy versus spy sense, summer versus winter. Insulation is going to affect both seasons, okay? You want to make sure that you have 12 to 14 inches of insulation in the greater Cincinnati area. If you go up to Cleveland, over to Buffalo, Wisconsin, if you go up to Minnesota, these places, upstate New York, New England, you want to have 14 to 16 inches of insulation because your R value gets higher and that is your resistance level, resistance value of allowing heat to penetrate, go past that insulation into your attic, which you do not want to have. And in the summer, that heat that's in your attic, you don't want it to go on into your house and really fight your air conditioner trying to make it warmer, when in fact your air conditioner is trying to make it colder. You don't want that heat to go into the cooler part of the house. So you want to make sure that that 12 to 14 or 16 inches or whatever it may be for your part of the country, and you can look up what the appropriate amount of insulation is, but just make sure you don't block off soffit vents with the insulation. There should be baffles on the sheathing in between the trusses or roof members to allow that air to pass through up to the highest point to the either the gable vents or the ridge vent to escape. So it's very important for insulation and ventilation. So sticking with summer, and we're going to revisit the attic again when we talk about winter, but what do you do when you have an older house that may be a Cape Cod style house from the 1940s or 50s, maybe a Tudor style house from the 20s or 30s, you have upstairs that just doesn't have a whole lot of ability to draw air conditioning up there because maybe it used to be the attic and you don't have return vents and it's just really not efficient and it's been retrofitted for cooling and heating up there. So what do you do with that? Well, there's one way you can help fight the heat in the upstairs for one of these older houses, and this actually applies to the newer houses too. Believe it or not, let's assume your insulation is good and maybe you have a Cape Cod style house with the side side attics that have the little knee walls and the little doors and maybe a couple of cutout panels going into the side attic spaces. Well, you want to make sure those are well insulated against the inside wall of the house, and even the door going into the attic, you want to make sure that's insulated so that when you shut it, you're not going to lose heat. You're not going to have heat loss into the attic during the winter, and the heat that's coming in during the summer is not going to go back into the house. So insulating those walls are very important. Then, what about these sunny sides of the house, your west and east facing areas, to make sure that those windows are having blinds that are not the plastic cheap blinds that the sun can penetrate, but you want to have blinds that are maybe the aluminum blinds, okay? Or maybe you have some blackout curtains. What about that? Okay, as I'm adjusting a blind right now. You want to maybe have those thick PVC blinds. Those are something you may want to consider. Something that's really going to block the sunlight is going to help reduce the temperature upstairs because you're probably going to have 3 to 4 to 5, 6, maybe even 7 degree difference between the downstairs and upstairs in one of these especially older houses. Also, for the summer, your windows, if they're the single pane original windows, the sun's going to blast on through there a lot easier than it is the insulated windows, and the converse of that can be true during the winter. You're going to lose some heat outside and be drafty with the older windows. So making sure you have more energy efficient windows, if you're buying a house that has the historical looking windows, maybe you want to seal them up on the inside, front facing ones, street facing, so you keep with that historical look with those original wooden windows. But maybe you put a plexiglass sealed area in to block that off on the inside, and you're not losing that heat. And then the rest of the house, replace it with the vinyl replacement windows. Except, of course, for that stained glass window or two or three or four, and you want those to stay there, but maybe seal the inside off with plexiglass so you're not losing heat. You can get that done as well. Okay, so those are some things to deal with during the summer months. And let's switch over to talk about the winter in this spy versus spy. Oh, and by the way, there are sometimes some energy efficient projects you can do, like adding the amount of insulation, replacing with the more energy efficient windows. These things may enable you to take some energy efficient home improvement credits with the Department of Treasury. So, which is AKA IRS. So I'm reading it right here from the internet off the irs.gov site. January 1st, 2023. If you make qualified energy efficient improvements to your home after January 1st, 2023, you may qualify for a tax credit up to $3,200. You can claim the credit for improvements made through 2032. Good grief, I didn't even know that. And there's a form you're supposed to use. Of course, consult with your accountant or the person doing your taxes. There's a form 5695 that you want to use for that. Okay, so consult your tax advisor for that, your accountant, whatever it may be. And it can be used for qualified energy improvements installed during the year, residential energy property expenses, home energy audits, etc. Okay, so that's something you want to consider. And there's even stuff in here for Energy Star requirements, exterior windows, skylights, insulation, air sealing materials or systems, and home energy audits. Man, I may need to take advantage of this myself. So that's something to consider. And if you're a landlord and you have investment properties, I think there's some stuff you can do with that as well. Okay, so that covers that. Now let's switch over to the winter. As recording this, it's dropping down into the 30s at night, even high 20s in Cincinnati. And I'm starting to think about winter preparation myself. So what are some things to take into consideration during winter-based home inspections as a seller or a buyer? Okay, first and foremost, the most important one that we've covered is the insulation, okay? Here's something you don't think about. When you do not have enough insulation in your attic and you don't have enough ventilation, we run into roof decking, that is the boards that are underneath the felt paper and the shingles that everything's nailed into. We can run into roofing nails that are rusted inside attics that may even be physically dripping water. Why would that happen? Condensation, that's why. Condensation forms on those nails, and that is from the from the intersection of your hot air in your attic meeting a very cold roof. And because you didn't block it off with the insulation, it made a big enough temperature difference to allow between the attic and the, or didn't allow a big enough difference between the attic temperature and the outside air to not cause that. So it is very important to have enough insulation and ventilation. Ventilation, of course, is the airflow in your attic, and you do want it to be somewhat drafty up there. But for example, let's say it's 30 degrees outside. You really don't want it to be more than like 35 degrees in your attic. And to make that happen, you have to have enough insulation and definitely enough ventilation, because you want it to be chilly in your attic. It also, just as a side benefit, it helps prevent the invitation of raccoons and squirrels and bats and mice and even snakes in your attic. Yeah, I did say snakes in your attic. I have an episode where I talked about snakes in an attic before, too. Okay, so enough about the attic. Oh, what else grows on wet roof decking when there's not enough ventilation? Yeah, you guessed it, mold. We have seen mold in attics. Generally speaking, it's a lot from the bathroom vents, when people are showering, taking a bath, fans running, and instead of being vented to the outside, that air is vented into the attic, and it doesn't go anywhere except onto the roof decking, and it forms mold. That's not a good thing. Very expensive to mitigate. Mold is very expensive. It is not a cheap topic. All right, some other things about winter. Leftover roof, leftover gutters that are full of leaves, and then the snow gets in there, and it just causes things to overflow once the snow melts because the leaves are blocking the downspouts. Not a good situation. Leaf buildup around the sides of the house against the foundation causes a lot of moisture retention, messy stuff with bushes and vines and all that stuff. Keep the vegetation and leaves away from your house. Let everything drain well away. And that's true for the summer too, but it especially gets just super messy in the winter. Now, when there is snow on the ground, usually there's snow on the roof. So we're going to talk a little bit about snow on the roof, but let's first cover snow on the ground. Snow, if you're scheduling an inspection and you have like a 10-day inspection period, or at time of recording this, most times are like 5 to 7 days, the really shortened inspection period. And that being the case, you set up the inspection takes place, and there's snow on the ground. Let's say there's 4, 5, or 6 inches. Well, it's going to be hard for us to see up against the foundation. It's going to be hard for us to see a driveway. It's going to be hard to see sidewalks and porches, and of course the roof, but I'm going to save the roof here for a minute. So what do? Do you not do the inspection? Well, that you can put it off, but you only have so much time to do the inspection because you have an inspection period, and your realtor who's helping you purchase the house is going to want you to get that done so they can do your negotiation and do the due diligence and all that stuff period to for your negotiation for your house that you're purchasing. Well, that also falls into the roof. So do you wait for the snow to melt? What if you're in a 15-day cold front and it's not moving and it's a stationary cold front and everything's frigid and the snow is staying on your roof because your insulation is real good in that house? By the way, if you have snow on a roof and it stays on the roof for a long time and melts at a nice, easy way with the sun hitting it every day and it melts slowly, that's actually the best way. You want the snow to melt slowly and steadily based on the sun, but not based on the temperature of your attic, which if it melts fast, is too warm. You don't have enough insulation in the attic, and therefore you get a whole lot of moisture against your foundation because all that water just drops down there. You want it to melt slowly. So it's a sign of a good insulated attic when you have snow on a roof that stays for a while. Okay, but you don't really have a lot of time to reschedule for re-inspections of the roof. And I would encourage you, if you need to have the roof re-inspected, work with your realtor on negotiating time to come back and inspect the roof. You may need to get an extension on the inspection period. That's typically fair because you really need to be able to see the whole roof. Now, what is fair to the inspector based on their time? It does take extra time, extra driving, extra effort for the inspector to come back to the house. Their time is valuable. Please don't take your inspector's time as for granted and not view it as important as yours or the realtor's. Home inspectors are people too, and their time is valuable, and it does take an effort to work in rescheduling to come out to reinspect a roof after the snow has melted, so please be flexible. And the inspectors really should be compensated, which is going to vary for whatever part of the country you're in, whatever market, on how much to charge for a trip fee to go out and reinspect the roof. But somebody really ought to pay him that. He or she, for that matter, to go out and reinspect and make that effort. So please don't take that for granted. I'll just leave it there. Leave it with that. Make sure that person gets compensated. Who compensates him? I don't know. It could be the listing agent, could be the buyer's agent, could be the seller, could be the buyer, but somebody really needs to compensate the inspector for coming back out. Okay, and different roofs are going to vary with the different melt rates. Whether you have a ever so popular metal roof, they're becoming more popular, especially out in the suburban country areas. And those metal roofs, you know, once the snow melts to a point where the sun can hit it, is going to warm up that metal pretty quickly, and it's going to melt real fast. Some other things to think about when you are dealing with winter: we may put some recommendations about weather stripping old houses, doors around windows, things of that nature that allow a lot of heat to leak out of the house. And these are things that you want to pay attention to as well. Draftiness. So take advantage of those things that you can with the energy conservation things and the home improvement credits. Those are things you want to definitely do a little bit of due diligence and investigate, and hopefully that can save you some money, reduce your taxes. Consult, of course, your accountant on those. But there are differences between the older house, between winter and summer, in a spy versus spy way of looking at it. So does that mean that spring and fall are the best times to do your inspection? Maybe, maybe not, but you know, if you get relocated in the middle of winter and you need to buy a house and it's February and you're in Chicago, well, it is what it is. Every season has its pros and cons. You can't put off your house buying and your house selling. You know, you just have to deal with the weather the best you can. There's pros and cons with each season. And, you know, for example, during the winter, testing your furnace is probably going to be the best test, because when it's real cold, you're going to see how well it works. Is testing your furnace in the summer an equal test? Well, it turns on. If it's 95 degrees outside and you're turning on your furnace, okay, it works fine. But what about winter when I'm testing my air conditioner and I can't do that? Well, we've covered that. There's pros and cons. What about spring when it's like 62 degrees outside testing my air conditioner? Well, the inspector turned it down to 60. It's low humidity and it's cooling, but compared to what? It's only 62 degrees outside. Is that a real test for your air conditioner compared to when it's 90 degrees outside? Not really. So having the test of the air conditioner in the summer is the best for the air conditioner. And just as a reminder, no matter which season it is, dealing with the big four are always going to be things that help keep you out of trouble. You want to manage your roof, your furnace, your air conditioner, and your foundation, which is to say your structure. And if you can get through the inspection without issues of those four items, you can pretty much get to the closing table unencumbered without that many big issues, and hopefully things go well for you. So think about winter versus summer. Think about the big four, and we really wish you the best in house hunting and going through the inspection. And remember, your inspector is a person too. Hey, thank you for listening. This has been the Successful Home Ownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie. And until our next episode again, thank you for listening. Spy versus Spy.